This is most certainly true. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He shines the light of his love into dark places, our world, our lives, our hearts. And his light chases away the darkness of sin and makes us to shine with his glory. And through his saving work, we will rise and shine to live forever in the glory of heaven. Behold the splendor of Jesus' love in this sermon, recently delivered at Grace.
The Holy Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. It's the basis for the sermon today, the opening words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
If you're happy and you know it, wait, we are stuffy Lutherans and we don't clap in church. I say that with a smile. Let me start again. If you were to rate your happiness on a scale of 1 to 10, what would your number be? Would you reach 2 hands? Or would you be 5 or less? I suppose it would be awkward if I asked you to raise your hand or hands and show your number to everyone else. Maybe a little embarrassing. Perhaps you'd pad your number a little bit to make it look better. Who wants to admit they're a 3 on the happiness scale? It's sort of like when we greet each other in the morning. "Good morning, how are you?" "Good, I'm fine, thanks." Meanwhile, in your head and heart, you're screaming, "I'm not fine." So truthfully and honestly, how happy are you right now? Are you happy with where you're at in life? Are you happy with things that have happened to you lately? Are you happy with what you see in the news or on social media? Happy with the direction and trajectory of your life? Or might it be that you're just tired? Tired of another day of pain? Tired of so many doctor appointments? Tired of snow? Tired of waiting for the next tragedy to strike or bad news to be announced? Tired of stress? Tired of worrying about the future and wondering if you have enough strength to endure it all? I wonder how happy the crowds were that followed Jesus around. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was just beginning his ministry. He was preaching and teaching, healing all kinds of people, and we find out that crowds of people were flocking to him. So we pick up today at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, and this is what we heard a moment ago. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." This was 2,000 years ago, but, you know, human condition hasn't exactly changed too much in a broken world. And so I wonder, how many came to Jesus because they had decades of chronic back pain or arthritis? How many in those crowds came to Jesus because their mother or their father had just come down with leprosy and they were hoping for some kind of miracle? Or perhaps they had lost a loved one and they didn't know how to handle it. How many in the crowds were scraping by, barely making ends meet because their construction business was about to collapse or their little Capernaum corner bakery was about to close? How many had friends that were used and abused by the Roman soldiers and they were so sick and tired of government oppression? How many in those crowds had such guilty hearts and they didn't know how to get right with God? They were crowds, but crowds of people, sinful people like you and I, and quite surely like you and I, these crowds of people were hurting and likely not very happy. So Jesus has all these people flocking to him, to listen to him, to come and see him. He goes on a mountainside, he sits down, he opens his mouth, and what's the very first word that comes out? Blessed. We should take a moment and understand that word a little bit more, though. In the original Greek language, that word is makarios. You learned a fancy new word today. It's printed in your service folder, makarios. Although Jesus was speaking to multiple people, so he said the plural, makarioi. Makarios would have been a big adjective to start off a sermon with, even more shocking than singing If You're Happy and You Know It. In English, the word means to be blessed or fortunate or happy. In the Greek and Roman world, they used makarios a lot. You were makarios if the gods kept you from disaster or misfortune. If you were lucky, if you had the fates on your side, if things went your way, then you'd be makarios, blessed, fortunate, happy in the Greek mind. The Jews, of course, in a Greek world, understood this in their secular culture, but they knew the word from different meanings as well. Makarios comes up in the Greek translation of their Hebrew Old Testament here and there. And so the Jewish people had kind of a blended understanding. They knew someday the Messiah would come and he would make everything better. And so here comes this Jesus dude from Nazareth, who splashes onto the scene with bold preaching and teaching and healing all kinds of people. Could this be the one? Could this be the Messiah? Crowds of people flock to Jesus to see and to listen. And again, what's the first word he says? Makarios. Yes, Jesus, you tell us. You tell us how blessed we'll be when you overthrow that Roman emperor. You tell us how fortunate we'll be when you fill our bank accounts. You tell us how happy we're going to be when all our pains and problems go away. How many in the crowd do you think were completely shocked when Jesus continued? Blessed are the poor, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst, the persecuted. I'm sorry, what did you say, Jesus? These are the kinds of things we're trying to get rid of in our lives and we're trying to avoid right now. How am I going to be blessed when I'm mourning over all the sadness that sin brings into this world? How can I be fortunate if I'm persecuted? This is not makarios. I don't feel very happy with these things. Again, this was 2,000 years ago, but the sinful human condition has not changed much since the very beginning. In the beginning, Satan duped Adam and Eve to believe that God was holding back on them, that somehow they would be happier if they had something else, something better. And you know, Satan is still duping people with that same lie today. If you rated your happiness on a scale of 1 to 10, and you were honest, how much of the number you chose depends on something worldly? Well, I'm pretty happy right now. I have a decent income, but you know, I'd be more happy if I had a better job. I'd be more happy in my life if I didn't have this chronic pain I'm dealing with. Oh boy, I'd be happy if so-and-so wasn't in government office right now. I'd be happy if this happened, or if I had that, then I'd really be happy. Satan is still dangling the same fruit in front of us that God is holding back on us, that somehow we'd be more happy, more blessed if we had this worldly thing or that worldly situation. And we just love to chomp down on that fruit and devour it to the core. And yet when we're done licking our fingers, devouring that delicious fruit of worldly thinking, what do we have left? I'm still hurting. I'm still painful. I still have problems. I still have guilt. And now I'm just frustrated and angry with God because things aren't going my way. How easy it is to think, I'm not very happy, so God must not love me. How foolish. How devilish. How sinful. Friends, don't let Satan twist your understanding of happiness to be involved in something that only leads to a place where there will never be happiness in hell. Instead, listen to the words, listen to the sermon of your Savior. You know, as those Jewish people were listening to this Sermon on the Mount, there should have been some, I would expect there would be perhaps many, that would have made some connections in their mind. As Jesus opened up this sermon with that charged word, Makaria, some may have gone right back to famous verses in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, like one that we actually heard today in Psalm 1. How does the hymnal of the Old Testament begin? What's the very first word? Psalm 1, verse 1, word number 1. Makarios. We sang it in the refrain. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, but whose delight is in the law, the word of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Or maybe some in the crowd would have thought of another psalm with that word Makarios, the words of King David. What did David say in Psalm 32? Blessed are the rich and famous and those living on early street, on easy street. No, no. David wrote in Psalm 32, Makarios, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. You see, the Lord is giving us a completely different understanding of what it means to be Makarios, blessed, fortunate, happy. When am I truly blessed? When I'm in a right relationship with God, when I know my sins are forgiven and I'm walking in the light of His Word and on His path, or maybe I could say it more simply than that, when am I truly blessed? When I know Jesus as my Savior. When I know that the perfect heavenly thinking of Jesus covers over all my foolish worldly thinking, that's when I know I'm blessed. When I see that God does not treat me as my sins deserve for the sake of His Son, but rather washes them all away in His blood, that's when I see how fortunate I am. When I know that I have been adopted into God's family and clothed with Christ in my baptism, and that status can never change, that's when I learn what real happiness is all about. To know Jesus and His grace and His mercy and what He freely gives in an eternal life in heaven with Him, a second of which I don't deserve, that is to be truly Makarios. When we understand what it means to be blessed, to be fortunate, to be happy in the Lord from a spiritual perspective, that is when the doors fly open for us to really understand what Jesus is talking about in this Sermon on the Mount. So let's go back to what Jesus said in these famous Beatitudes, a fancy word for blessings. Here's what Jesus said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may have a downcast heart. You may feel terrible about things you have done, but you are actually blessed when you are poor in spirit, because you understand you bring nothing to the table. You are blessed when you know that in place of punishment and death, God actually gives forgiveness and life and a place in his kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You may mourn and hurt so much from losing a loved one. You may mourn and grieve over the guilt you hold, but you are blessed when you are comforted by the Lord. You are blessed to know that Jesus has declared it is finished on the cross and his victory is proven in the empty tomb. You are blessed when you are comforted, knowing that one day you will never mourn because Jesus will wipe every tear from your eye. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This may seem counterintuitive to the world to be meek and mild. How will you ever get anywhere to be meek, mild, and humble? You'll just be trampled on by all the big dogs of life. But you're actually blessed when you're meek and mild and humble because you understand by faith that you're going to inherit something better than a raise or a promotion or a bonus or extra social media likes and clicks. You will inherit a new heaven and a new earth, which Christ is preparing for his people. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You may hunger, even thirst, every day for a closer relationship with Jesus and long for a closer walk with him in life, but you are blessed when you thirst for righteousness, because Jesus will fill you up to the brim, to the point of spilling over when he pours out his love in his word and sacraments, just as he does here in worship. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Oh, you may want to take revenge on a few people. You probably have a short list for that. You may want to give people a good old piece of your mind, especially online when you can hide behind your screen. But you are blessed when you are merciful, because you are shining with light into a world of sinful darkness and hatred, reflecting the light of Jesus' love, the light of the world. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You may find it hard to avoid all the temptations of this world, and in a hyper-connected world with digital technology everywhere, temptation is thrown in our faces, but you are blessed when you pursue what is lovely and pure and chaste and admirable and noble, because it's just a little taste of the holiness you'll have in heaven when you see God face to face. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You may be called foolish by people of this world and thought of as weak when you don't fight back, when you don't argue, when you don't get in the mix at work or online. But you are actually blessed when the Prince of Peace fills your heart with his peace, and then you live in peace here in this world. And finally, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." You may find it hard to live your faith in this world. You might have friends, maybe even family members, certainly people out in the world, media and all the news, making fun of you, insulting you. But you are blessed when you are persecuted. Because just as Christ first went to the cross and then received glory, so we live under the cross, knowing the glory is yet to come. Again, this may seem counterintuitive or foolish to most in the world. But did you catch what the Apostle Paul said in the second reading this morning? God used the weak and shameful things, the foolish things of this world, to shame those who are strong and wise. God used a manger and a cross and a tomb to accomplish our salvation. And in the same way, in your lowest moments, your weakest moments, your worst moments, is when God will show his strength, his wisdom, and his love. Jesus is completely flipping the script on what it means to be happy. It's not something you can buy. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you get lucky and win. True happiness comes from His grace alone and living by faith alone. It's not about a fickle feeling where you circle a number on a scale from 1 to 10. True happiness is having the joy of Jesus down deep in your heart. And that's why Jesus could close with this. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In any and every situation, high moment or low moment, your best or worst or anything in between, you can rejoice and be glad. Because just as the prophets, apostles, and believers of old suffered, but now taste heaven, someday soon you will receive that reward as well. That is what it means to be Makarios, blessed, fortunate, happy. There are not many poetic ways that describe it much better than some of the hymns that we know and love. And one of my new favorites is the hymn that we just sang. As I understand, it's the first time we've sung it here at Grace. We sing it all the time at our high school. Our kids love it. It's so good, it's worth looking at again. So I'm actually going to ask, if you grab your hymnal, let's go back to that hymn, 867, and let's take a look at that hymn. We get extra practice with it today. Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near. Your Savior's gracious promise here. His faithful word you can believe, that as your days, your strength shall be. Your faith is weak, your foes are strong, and if the conflict should be long, the Lord will make the tempter flee, that as your days, your strength shall be. Should persecution rage and flame, still trust in your Redeemer's name. In fiery trials you shall see, that as your days, your strength shall be. When called to bear your weighty cross, or sore affliction, pain or loss, or deep distress or poverty, still as your days, your strength shall be. And the refrain is so good, maybe we should sing it together. Will you join with me? So sing with joy, afflicted one, the battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that you need. Yes, as your days, your strength shall be.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace or to support this ministry, please visit gracedowntown.org today. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.